Ollie, in whom this sight and this story had aroused sanguinary passions, promised a vengeance proportioned to the outrage, and worked with all his might to place himself in a position to keep his word. A worthy son of his father, he had commenced life in the fashion of the heroes of ancient Greece, stealing sheep and goats, and from the age of 14 years he had acquired an equal reputation to that earned by the son of Jupiter and Maia. When he grew to manhood, he extended his operations. At the time of which we are speaking, he had long practiced open pillage. His plundering expeditions added to his mother's savings, who since her return from Kardiki had altogether withdrawn from public life and devoted herself to household duties, enabled him to collect a considerable force for an expedition against Kormovo, one of the two towns he had sworn to destroy. He marched against it at the head of his banditti, but found himself vigorously opposed, lost part of his force, and was obliged to save himself and the rest by flight. He did not stop till he reached Tepelen, where he had a warm reception from Kamco, whose thirst for vengeance had been disappointed by his defeat. "Go," said she, "go, coward. Go spin with the women in the harem. The distaff is a better weapon for you than the scimitar." The young man answered not a word, but, deeply wounded by these reproaches, retired to hide his humiliation in the bosom of his old friend the mountain. The popular legend, always thirsting for the marvelous in the adventures of heroes, has it that he found in the ruins of a church a treasure which enabled him to reconstitute his party. But he himself has contradicted this story, stating that it was by the ordinary methods of rapine and plunder that he replenished his finances. He selected from his old band of brigands 30 palikers, and entered, as their bulabachi, or leader of the group, into the service of the Pasha of Negropont. But he soon tired of the methodical life he was obliged to lead, and passed into Thessaly, where, following the example of his father Veli, he employed his time in brigandage on the highways. Thence he raided the Pindus chain of mountains, plundered a great number of villages, and returned to Tepelen, richer and consequently more esteemed than ever. He employed his fortune and influence in collecting a formidable guerrilla force, and resumed his plundering operations. Kurd Pasha soon found himself compelled, by the universal outcry of the province, to take active measures against this young brigand. He sent against him a division of troops, which defeated him and brought him prisoner with his men to Berat, the capital of central Albania and residence of the governor. The country flattered itself that at length it was freed from its scourge. The whole body of bandits was condemned to death, but Ali was not the man to surrender his life so easily. Whilst they were hanging his comrades, he threw himself at the feet of the Pasha and begged for mercy in the name of his parents, excusing himself on account of his youth and promising a lasting reform. The Pasha, seeing at his feet a comely youth with fair hair and blue eyes, a persuasive voice, an eloquent tongue, and in whose veins flowed the same blood as his own, was moved with pity and pardoned him. Ali got off with a mild captivity in the palace of his powerful relative, who heaped benefits upon him, and did all he could to lead him into the paths of probity. He appeared amenable to these good influences, and bitterly to repent his past errors. After some years, believing in his reformation, and moved by the prayers of Kamco, who incessantly implored the restitution of her dear son, the generous Pasha restored him his liberty, only giving him to understand that he had no more mercy to expect if he again disturbed the public peace. Ali, taking the threat seriously, did not run the risk of braving it, and on the contrary, did all he could to conciliate the man whose anger he dared not kindle. Not only did he keep the promise he had made to live quietly, but by his good conduct he caused his former escapades to be forgotten, putting under obligation all his neighbors, and attaching to himself, through the services he rendered them, a great number of friendly disposed persons. In this manner he soon assumed a distinguished and honorable rank among the beys of the country, and being of marriageable age, he sought and formed an alliance with the daughter of Capilan Tigre, Pasha of Delvino, who resided at Argyrocastron. This union, happy on both sides, gave him, with one of the most accomplished women in Epirus, a high position and great influence. It seemed as if this marriage were destined to wean Ali forever from his former turbulent habits and wild adventures. But the family into which he had married afforded violent contrasts and equal elements of good and mischief. If Emine, his wife, was a model of virtue, his father-in-law, Capilan, was a composition of every vice: selfish, ambitious, turbulent, fierce. Confident in his courage, and further emboldened by his remoteness from the capital, the Pasha of Delvino gloried in setting law and authority at defiance. Ali's disposition was too much like that of his father-in-law to prevent him from taking his measure very quickly. He soon got on good terms with him,